Friendship, okay? I mentioned last week that we need to be very, very cautious about what kind of impression we leave as friends, okay? Many people have this... Come. Who? Oh. Hello. Wow, you're welcome. A big brute. Hello. Upstairs. Sister Jimmy, thank you. Hey, hi. That's okay. Hello, that must be Sarah. Only princess of the troop. second princess. Yes, coming. Okay. Alright, okay, for those who just came in, we're talking about restoring broken relationships, okay? Just overwhelmed, right, by what God is doing. Anyway, well, it's very important as a church what kind of impression we leave to people. The goal is not so much to leave an impression that we are. I think many churches have, as they've grown, have this thing that many people will come and say, oh, I'll go to the church, but it's so big, I cannot fit in, okay? May ambassador never be like that. We must always have that heart of reaching out, okay? Now, we mentioned friendship. Let's turn to Matthew 5, okay? Matthew 5. And I want to start off very quickly once again to highlight a fact that I will always, always highlight to the day I die, that relationships are very important to God, okay? Just give you this passage once again. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 verse 23, the Bible says, I'll give you the context, right, in verse 21, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Alright, it's very clear the Lord Jesus Christ said in the Old Testament, if you kill someone, you will be put before the judgment. The judgment is a group of 72 elders who will decide whether or not you should be executed for your crimes. And the way they execute you is, they put you up, they stone you to death, okay, if you are found guilty. But then Jesus came in verse 22 and said, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause. If you are angry with a brother without a cause, the word without a cause is a very important point. And if you study it properly, remember when a person is, when a person killed someone, there must be a legitimate reason, alright? Because otherwise you will be executed. So when Jesus said, if you're angry with someone without a legitimate reason, and the only legitimate reason that God will accept is His word, okay? If someone steals from you, that is a reason to be angry with him. If someone breaks your thing or takes your thing without permission, that is a legitimate reason. But if someone says, I don't like your hair, well, it is not a legitimate reason, okay? You may say, well, Brother Johnny, he criticized me, okay? Oftentimes, it's hurt feelings. Does that make sense? As far as God is concerned, that is not a legitimate reason for you to be angry. However, because of our human nature, sometimes we do get angry, and God gives ways that we can restore that. So here is very important. God says that if you're angry with your brother without a legitimate reason, and unfortunately, many people are angry without a legitimate reason. Many people are angry with someone because of a perceived reason. I think he is like that, and I'm angry. How dare he think? You know, it's very interesting how we develop perceptions. See, Jacob looked at me like that. Okay, he stared at me. I think he's angry at me. Okay, that's just it. Now he's smiled. Okay, so what happens is this. I look at him, he look at me. Of course, he's better looking than me. Then he thinks that, then I will think that, hey, why he smile at me? I think after service, he's going to do something to me. Then I would think he's going to do something to me. Then I would think, how dare he think of something to do something to me? How dare he? I'm his friend. I've helped him so much. You know? Can you see how he's moving away from what he's actually thinking? You know how we can overcome that? Just like, why are you looking at me? You know, and then it's all over. But you know what we do? We listen carefully. This is a problem with many sinful Christians. Oh, not sinful Christians. Christians in general, and even people in general. We start to imagine what the other person is thinking. And we take it as he is doing that. You know how we can resolve that? Just go to him and ask him, what are you looking at me for? Oh no, smiling because in youth camp we did this, I was just smiling about it. You know? And it's all over. Does that make sense? You know how the devil likes to play on us? That's why Jesus had to be very clear. When you're angry with someone, you need to have a legitimate reason, alright? That's why he says. He says, if you're angry with your brother without a legitimate reason, you will be in danger of the judgment already. You'll be standing before the council. And if you call your brother wrecker, the word wrecker means you stupid, you actually call your brother names. You actually point fingers at that brother. The Bible says you'll be in danger of the council. But if you call Daofu, the word Daofu is a derogatory name. You say you're good for nothing, all you're good for is this, and I wish you're cursed, and all that kind of thing. God says you are in danger of hellfire, because how dare you call someone like that, that is made in the image of God. Does that make sense? You see, everyone here is made in the image of God. Not everyone here is the same. There are Filipinos, there's Chinese, and etc. We have all different cultural backgrounds, different social backgrounds, different financial backgrounds. But you know what? We are all the same in Christ. Amen? And when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, He died for the poorest to the richest. And By the way, I think you know, the Lord Jesus died for Steve Jobs too. But you know, Steve Jobs didn't want to accept Christ. Okay? And so, what is the whole point? Then in verse 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother had ought against thee. So, I said last week also that the gift to the altar is a once a year sacrifice. It's a very important sacrifice to the Jews. Why? Because it is atonement for their sin. But God said, if you bring the once a year sacrifice, which you have to bring very far away to the temple of Jerusalem, and you say that, well, God, I'm going to give this sacrifice to you, and there the Bible says, if you remember your friend has got something against you, you know what God says? Put the sacrifice there. Leave it alone. You go and settle that one first. And then come back. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm not interested in your sacrifice if you're not right with your brother. I'm going to share that very strongly in the service afterwards, because it's so important. You know what that tells me? God says, relationships are absolutely important to me. That's why Jesus Christ came to restore men, not just to God, but men to men. Alright? So that's something very important for us to understand. Alright, then moving on. Any questions? Please feel free to stop me. Alright, Brother Johnny, I don't understand. Just stop me. Okay? Okay, the next one, we talk about initiating friendships. Why do we avoid starting friendships? Some people are by nature very shy. Okay, and so why do they initiate friendships? I just kind of go through. We went through it last week. One is a fear of rejection. Okay, people are fearful of rejecting, being rejected. Another one is shyness. Okay, people are very shy. You know, I want us to be very, you know, in the church camp, I don't know, I always think about church camp, the youth camp, I do a lot of observation, you realize that some of the, I'm sure the youth focus observers, maybe one or two, that don't really fit in. Okay? No, but I'm thankful that people are trying to still help them to fit in, so that's an encouragement. Not all youth, and one of the things we need to understand is, when people don't fit in, it doesn't mean they don't want to fit in. Does that make sense? You could see that person just hovering around everyone, you know, trying to kind of... And you could see that it was, everyone has a need. And I believe as Christians, we need to be sensitive to that need. Everyone wants to be accepted. Okay? And so as Christians, we must show them the love of Jesus by accepting them. Does that make sense? And that's what we need to do. Okay? But some people are naturally shy. Okay? So what do? They avoid social contacts. They don't tell you what they're thinking. So the effect of that, they feel very lonely. I can tell you there are many lonely youth in this world. You know why? It's because parents are too busy. And they don't have someone to share with. Okay? In the youth camp, during our devotions, there were people who say not very close to their parents. Okay, we need to work on that. Okay, parents, fathers especially, I know we're busy, but spend time, make time. Even if it's just 5 minutes, even if they, you know, Esther Joy, I would say, Papa, can you play with me? You know, you know what the saddest thing? Yeah, I will play with her, then I fall asleep. And then she would say, Papa, why you always fall asleep when you play with me? It's like, and I try to sit up and all that, you know. And that's something which I need to work hard at. And thank God she still comes and kisses me. And then sometimes she'll pet me. Just to play. You know what it tells me? Children want someone to be with them. Okay? And just a simple relationship. Because if they cannot get close to their father on earth, how are they supposed to get close to their father in heaven? Or is something that we need to understand, okay? And so the effect will be loneliness. You know what? Some people believe that also they begin to doubt themselves because no one wants to talk to me. Can you see how the devil plays on that? No one talks to me, therefore I'm lousy, and therefore it's always that negative thinking leading to areas of perhaps, in the worst case scenario, people may go into depression and things like that, okay? But we won't go much into that. Antidotes to shyness, realize that God had created everyone with valuable qualities, and realize also we have a responsibility to give our lives to others. You see, when Jesus Christ saved us, we are not to live for ourselves. Okay? When Jesus Christ saved us, we are not to live for ourselves. Our life is to be given to God, alright, to win people to Christ and to help them. Okay? Another reason why we avoid initiating friendship is we are prejudiced against another person. Alright? I know some taxi drivers, unfortunately, when they see a person from a certain race, they don't want to pick them up because of perhaps that's prejudice. In a Christian church, especially Ambassador, may we never have a prejudice against anyone coming to Christ. All right, I've mentioned before, I'll say it again, we must never have people from off the streets, wherever it comes in, we must never have the prejudice. What Jesus didn't have. Okay? But I did mention that as guys, for example, if let's say a man from, we know that their background is not very healthy, I think the men should actually take lead to be with this person to protect our ladies. Okay, I think there's some wisdom in that as well. So we need to be careful. But we must never have any prejudice against anyone. Okay, so another one is poor self-image. People think that I'm not good enough. Okay, we talked about that. And then the next one is how to make friends. I think we didn't touch that, right? So we're going into that today. How to make friends. Alright, I'll just give you some ideas. And then I want to go quickly to how to restore broken relationships. Because that's a major thrust today. How do we make friends? Okay, we need to create opportunities to meet people. Okay, you don't tell... I always get this. This church is not friendly. Then they say... And I say, oh, why you say that? No one comes and talk to me. Okay. Alright, that tells us as a church we need to be more open-hearted to reach out to others. But you know, it's also helpful if you also go and talk to someone else. As far as I'm concerned, a friend is just a stranger that you've never met. Okay, a friend is just a stranger you've never met. Okay, so all you need to do is to talk. I made a lot of friends in the lifts. Char Kway Teow man is my friend, Bak Kut Teh man is my friend, and usually what I do is I really talk to them first, and usually they give me a bigger portion after that because they feel good that someone actually talked to them. Yeah. Well, making friends after that probably will give them a track and all that as well. Okay. Another thing to do to make friends: take the first step with a genuine heart to want to reach out. Yeah, Brother Desmond, you're smiling. Why are you smiling?
I think you meant to say.
A stranger, yeah, okay, that too. A stranger is a friend you've never met. Okay, thank you. A stranger, yeah, thank you. Good thing I clarified that. Okay, see, otherwise I will have this Desmond don't like me anymore and judge my... Okay, take the first step. As Christians, we have Christ on our hearts, we have the love of Christ, take the first step to reach out to someone else, okay? Another one is be yourself. Okay, you, very important, be yourself. Don't be someone you are not. Because you know why? If you start being someone you are not, you start to have to put on more layers to hide yourself. Okay? Now I'm not saying why don't you say I can be the way I am, okay lah, dress the way bad. I'm not saying that, right? I think you know what I mean. You don't have to hide. If you truly trust Christ as your Savior, do you realize you don't have to hide because Jesus Christ loves you? A lot of people have confidence problems is because they put confidence in the wrong place. You need to put confidence in God. And that's where God will give you that help from the inside, okay? Be yourself. Allow time. Don't try one time and say, the church... Sometimes we live in an instant culture. We want it and we want it now. If I don't get it now, you know what we do as Singaporeans? We write a complaint letter. You know what? In friendships, we need to actually take time. Okay, we need to actually take time for it to grow. The first time may not work, second time may not work, but you know what? If you truly care about another person, you want to take time to do that. Okay, another thing is to take risks. Okay, this is just some practical things you can do. Take risks. To begin a friendship, you must risk your time. You must sometimes risk embarrassment. people talk to you and say, okay, he's not ready yet, so let's move on. Alright? Now, just because you are rejected doesn't mean people don't like you. Okay? Can I say this? It's because maybe the other person don't know how to talk to you. And so you need to take that time to reach out to them as well. Look for common interests, okay? I put there 6 things to help people like you. The idea is not so much to like you, okay? To actually build the bridge, okay? Number one, become genuinely interested in other people. Become genuinely interested in other people. Can I say this? We live in a culture and a society that is so superficial. Agree? That people want to know you because of who you are. People want to know you because of what you can give to them. Or people want to know you because, you know, I know as a pastor, people want to know me because people want to come. Oh, I come to your church. You know why? It's because of something they can get. Okay? And so we need to be careful on our part that we don't fall into that trap of being interested in someone else because of what we can get from the other person. Especially the youth of our age want to get involved with other people because they feel secure. Okay, they feel secure. And if their friends betray them, there is a tendency for them to don't friend you already, you know, that kind of thing. But you know, when they say don't friend you, they are actually saying, actually I still want you to be your friend. I want to make you feel bad that you are doing that to me. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? And usually youth will say, okay lah. Right? You know what I'm doing? Basically you're throwing a tantrum. And you know what? Even as we grow older, we throw tantrums. Have you seen 60-year-olds throw tantrums? It happens. You know why? Because they have never learned to be contented. Okay? Alright? So, just become genuinely interested in other people. Smile. Okay? Just simple thing. A man's name is a sweeter sound to him. So, make sure you know the name. Sometimes I'm very embarrassed because, excuse me, what's your name? Again, you know. Remember people's names. Okay? Be a good listener. Be a good listener. There's a reason why God made one mouth and 2 ears. Okay, be a good... And the ears you know, our ears are cupped in such a way. You know why our ears are like this? You want to try, you put your ears like this, you find that it gets clearer. You know why God actually wants for you to... at home you try, okay? You talk like this, and then when you cup it, you know what happens? You know why God makes your ear like this? You know why? You know the satellite dish? It's basically to trap sound waves. So if you make your ears like this bigger, you can actually trap more. And it gets clearer. Okay? And you really want to listen more, then make the cardboard one. So you go in. It's interesting, God made 2 ears and 1 mouth. You know why? The Bible teaches us, James chapter 1, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and then slow to anger. Interesting. Because sometimes we get angry because we don't hear the whole story. Okay? So, be a good listener. May Ambassador Baptist Church be a listening church. Not just listen to men, but listen to God. Alright? That's very important. Make the other person feel genuinely important. Don't flatter the person. Don't butter him up. Alright? Just say some things that will be encouraging to him. Okay? For example, welcome them to church. Introduce them to others. Okay? How to make lasting Christian friends. The key is that as both friends draw closer to God, they grow closer to each other. Can I say this? If you want a close friend, I'm not talking about casual friends. Just a recap for those. There are 4 layers of friendships. What are the 4 layers of friendship? What's the first layer? Acquaintance. Okay, acquaintance is a person. Hi, bye. That's an acquaintance. What is a casual friend? A casual friend. What's a casual friend? How many youth? Or those who... what's a casual friend? Casual friend. Or anyone? Okay, people with common interests. Okay, that's a... Yeah, common... Which means... Or every Sunday, you can be a friend with someone else for 20 years, but you're still a casual friend. You know why? Because all you come together is for soccer. Okay? And so I had a close friend, right? His name is Andrew Yufang, a long time ago. And what we do, we are bounded by our love for soccer. You know, he's so kind to me, they say, because I'm playing for school last time, soccer, okay? And so he said, you come early in the morning, I train you, that kind of thing. Not that he's better than me, but he just said he kicked better, and So we would spend time together and just do things. And then, because he was in the Air Force, as a technician, they have this learn-as-you-earn scheme. That means after your O-levels, you didn't do very well, but you can sign on in the Air Force or whatever. They pay you, you study, then after you're bonded to them. So he's pretty okay in terms of finances. So he'll come and drive, then we'll go out for satay and that kind of thing, we'll talk. And usually we are bounded by satay and casual. So we are very casual friends. And for a long time, we're just friends that talk about common interests. Do you realize that many friends that you have, you only talk about the things you talk about commonly? That means you talk about TV, you talk about games, you talk about friends, you talk. But you don't really go down to the next level of close friendship, but you really sit and share with your friends your problem. That's a distinguishing mark between a casual friend and a close friend. A casual friend is, you come, oh, hi, wow, very nice, your tie, that, and you talk about common things, you hang out, you drink coffee bean or whatever, Starbucks, and you just hang out about school, you hang out about hobbies, you hang out about all that, but you never get to the level of sharing your personal things. And I mentioned, I think 1 or 2 weeks ago, the church ought to be on the level of close friendship and higher. Because in church, if you just have casual friends, it's not God's will. Let's turn to 1 John, right? 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Amen. I'm excited when I hear the guitar playing. Okay, 1 John chapter 1. And verse number 5. Okay, let's read together. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7. Really? 1 John 1, 7. Ready? 1, 2, go. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay? This verse tells us that in friendships within the local church, church members and people that come to the church, our friendship should be close friends and higher. Simply because we are not bounded just by common interest. We are bounded by the blood of Christ. And which means I can go to any brother or sister, okay? Of course you need some discernment. We can go to anyone and share problems with you, and you can pray together. Does it make sense? Within the local church, close friendships should be the thing we aim for. Because of the blood of Christ. Because of the fact that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And can I say this? If you are... Brother's man is hungry. Sorry. I lost my train of thought. Whatever. Bikers gang or something coming along. Okay. Yeah. It's not even the end. This is like a club like that. Okay, I'm trying to listen. If you come to church and you do have a problem, alright? Okay? And let's say that person actually shares with you that difficulty or the problem. You know what your response is? Pray for that person and keep it to yourself. Because a faithful man keepeth secrets. And which means that as friends, I can trust each other. But I'll say this. If the secret is, I'm going to commit suicide, please get help. And I've had this before. I would tell him, look, you're telling me it's too heavy for me. I need to get some help for you. It cannot be I kept quiet because you are at stake. You are at stake. Does it make sense? Alright? But if a friend comes and says, you know, I did badly for my exam. Oh, you need to try harder. It'd be encouragement, you know. Okay, don't tell anyone. I'd say, okay, then keep it to yourself, you know. Okay? And so, that's the idea of a close friend. And as Christians, our understanding of friendship ought to be different from the world. Okay? So the Bible makes it clear. So how do we make lasting... Okay, sorry, what's the last area of friendship? We have acquaintance, we have casual friends, we have close friends, and we have intimate friends. An intimate friend is someone who can tell you off, and you know he cares. And you can basically do boxing, and at the end you still go and drink coffee, and you know that the person cares, and the person scold you is because he cares for you. And you're actually able to take the responsibility of helping this person grow. Okay, and you are willing to be accountable to the other person. That's an intimate friend. Okay, can I say this? In this life, you have no more than 10 close friends, and no more than 3 intimate friends in this life. This Facebook about, I've got millions of friends, that's a lie of the world. You know why? It's to feed the proud ego. People know me. I can tell you, not many of them really care about you. Does that make sense? A person who genuinely cares, who is a person who will give you what is best for you, not what you want. Youth, take note of this. Sometimes you may feel, you don't like me because you never give me. No, a good friend will only give you what you need. Oh, but sometimes what you want an ice cream, I can give it to you, you know. But a close friend will always give you what you need to grow. All right? And an intimate friend will actually take on another responsibility of committing himself or herself to you to help you grow, no matter what the problem is. All right? Okay, now let's keep going. How to make good close friendships provoke one another to love and to good works. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24-25. The word provoke means to irritate one another. All right? In youth camp, we see a lot of irritation. Oi, quickly ah! Oh, God, let's keep moving. Oi, why you sit down there and do nothing? Eye power. I hear people already saying that. So, provoking one another to love and to good works. Okay? And sometimes, you know, the word provoke means provoke, irritate. Meaning, if you're not doing something for God, the person may just come and tell you, hey, why don't you do that? And you get irritated. But can I say, if you get irritated by someone telling you to do right, that's a good thing. Because the person is just being Bible. If you get angry, you are angry without a cause. Amen? Very soft. It's true. All right. Let's live Bible, okay? The Bible says we need to be provoking one another to love and do good works. Okay. Prayer. Okay, we need to pray for one another. A close friend prays for one another. I have a good friend. His name is Spurgeon. Spurgeon said, there's no greater gift a friend can give to me than to pray for me. Alright, that's what Spurgeon says, and I believe it's the right thing. Another thing about close friendship is accountability. Be accountable to someone. Be willing to say, hey, I'm doing this, can you pray for me and maybe check on me. Be accountable. Number 4, encourage one another, you know. Say to people, I appreciate you, you're doing a good job. Fathers should always encourage their children. Okay? Let me just put this. I've learned this as I was observing how my children, of course, being in child therapy, does help. One of the things, you realize as parents and fathers and mothers, do you realize that you have an advantage of capturing your children's heart? That simply means that when the child is born, God gave the child an internal inclination towards the parents. Some of you know, you spank your children, how hard, 2 years old, they'll still come back to you. You know why? God put that heart in you. But you know, why do, when children get to teenage years, they begin to kind of just slowly move away? Because from young, they have been pushed away again and again. I can tell you of instances that me and my wife know, that when a child is at home, the father and the mother is playing computer games in the house, and the child is basically doing this, open, 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 open. And the parents didn't. And it came, a child's speech was delayed. There were some emotional difficulties at the age of 3. And the child could look at the mother and say, don't want. Why? Because pushed away. And can I say this, parents, if you don't capitalize on that, teenage years, you're not going to see your child anymore. Your child get into trouble, you're not going to be the first one to come back to. Okay? And it's happening all over the world in many churches where parents are so busy with other things that the youth are brought up in a culture of their own. So they hang out with their own friends. So what do they learn? They learn their youth culture. How to dress, what kind of makeup to use, what kind of, where should we go for the best tea in whatever, you know, where to hang out, what the best latest movies, and all you talk about is the movies. No wonder the next generation grow up to be, to have the thoughts of this world. Does that make sense? You know what, parents need to be around. Brother Johnny, my parents are not safe. Well then, can I say, parents of the church, we need to assist and to guide. You know, it's so encouraging to see some parents that are taking leave just to be in the youth camp to minister to someone. Oh, how our youth need that. How our youth need that to be guided and to be encouraged to do right. Okay, we need encouragement. And I can tell you, a lot of children generally grow up with a lot less encouragement than they do have. Right? Agree? A lot of children. Rather than, let's grow. Let me ask you, when you plant something, how do you help it grow? Better grow, are you? You plant, you seed, you better grow, I tell you. Otherwise, I block the sun from you. You better grow. Isn't that what we do? Think about it. Huh? We actually, you better study hard, otherwise you don't take your dinner. We actually take away the basic needs of a child in order to get them to learn or get them to do things. You know, can I say this? That's not God's way of helping us grow. You know what Jesus, remember in Luke chapter 13, there was one particular fig tree that didn't bear fruit. What did Jesus, you know, the God the Father said, well, let's cut it down. Not that God is a tyrant, right? God just wanted to show his displeasure at the sin of Israel. You know what Jesus said? Wait, look, Father, give me some time. Give me 1 year. I would dig around it, I would dunk it, and if it bear fruit, fine. If not, then there's nothing I can do. Parents, can I say this? If you are finding yourself always having to do that, can I just encourage you to try encouragement for change? No, it's so amazing. There was one that I have so many situations whereby when a child goes, this is just in the course of work. Many children don't perform for their parents. But when they come to the clinic, we have no problem getting them to do their best. And the parents say, I've never seen him like that. You know? It's not even therapy, you know. It's just encouragement. But, you know, it's a, well done, good job. You know? And sometimes, it's not fictitious. We really want to encourage the child to do their best. And the child does perform. But you know, as parents, we are so concerned about the result, we forget about the process. Let's work on encouragement. Okay? Now, I'm not saying they do wrong. You keep encouraging them. When they do wrong, they do have to be rebuked, they do have to be spanked. But when in the course of their learning, you need to actually bring them up in the right way. Okay? Encouragement can take several forms. It can actually be appreciation for action. I often tell my children, thank you for doing that, thank you for sweeping the floor, thank you for closing the window, even though it's just a simple thank you for them. Sympathy in distress or sorrow, many times, Esther Joy, well, something may happen and she'll cry, and the first thing I do is just bring her, I just hug her, and of course, she always does this. Whenever she, you know, she, when you cry, what happens? Tears come down, mucus come down, right? And so she'll do this, her head starts moving. She used my shirt as a towel. That's okay. It's okay. Never mind. But you know how to differentiate between tantrum and distress? Parents, how do you differentiate when a child is in distress crying and a child is throwing a tantrum? Does anyone know? Parents, come. Let's see one of the advanced parents. Come. Anyone? Can you differentiate between a tantrum and a distress? They welcome your hug. Okay, what else? What else? What else? Okay, that's the key thing.
I don't want.
Distress is when you give them something they really like, they still kick that person. They just don't want that thing. It means that the child is going into distress. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, Sunday school teachers, youth workers. Can I say this? Advanced criers also do that. Advanced, you know, people who are very old, They still do that. You know, sometimes as old as we are, we do throw tantrums too. Okay? Which means that there's more things we need to work on. Okay? Sympathy in distress or sorrow. Support to accomplish something. Well done, well done, come on, well done. You know, it's very good, heartening to hear you focus. Come on, you can do it, you can do it. Even though you see that the tug of war we're playing, and it's obviously we're losing. Come on, you can do it, you can do it. It's like, okay, you can do it. You know, and you're losing. But that's okay, you just encourage me. That's okay, let's try again. It's just a game, alright? Support for to accomplish something. Thanks for favors, okay? If someone did something nice to you, just thank them, okay? Even your child. Okay? And a friend especially. Okay? Can I say this? May appreciation be a culture of ambassador. Alright? Just as we appreciate God, we need to appreciate one another. Alright? In the world, we get all kinds of from people. Can I say that? You know what? You come to church, it must be a refuge whereby people say, hey, Christians care. Christians will show appreciation. Okay? Personal presence in time of need. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 13. The Bible talks about exhort one another daily. Okay? We need to be willing to go out of our way when someone has a distress or difficulty, even in the middle of the night, to meet that need. Okay? That's being friends. Okay? Alright. Another one is helping and serving. Okay? Being sensitive to your friend's needs. When you and your friend come together, don't just think about what you like. Think about what your friend like. I can tell you, make a whole world of difference. If everyone comes to church and just think of serving someone else, then everyone gets taken care of. Amen? Amen? Just think of, I'm going to take care of this person, the person takes care of me. We just come to church and serve. Alright? And by the way, the Bible says what? In Matthew chapter 4, verse 9, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You realize service is also worship? When you serve God, it is actually worship as well. Okay? And that's very interesting. When I saw that, it's like, whoa, okay, a few years ago when I read that, yeah, there's a connection because you said, worship the Lord thy God. And him only shall thou serve. Okay, so service to God is also a form of worship. So though you focus, when you serve God in the youth camp, it was your act of worship. Lord, I love you. I'm going to serve you by caring for someone else. That's an act of worship. Okay? Have fun together. That was what we did in youth camp. I tell you, we laugh until no one fell off the chair, right? Okay? You must come for watch night. Okay? You must. Okay? 3 hours for the recap of the year. Yeah, no, just kidding. All right. Teamwork in spiritual battle. You know, one thing that drove the workers closer during the youth camp was we had a hard time spiritually. Hard time as in seeing the battle for what it is. Maybe Brother Desmond was sharing certain things that have happened over the months before the youth camp. And even 3 hours before the youth camp, something big happened that the youth camp may not be able to go ahead. But you know, God had victory. Souls were safe. Many hearts were challenged. At the end, we could see the unity of the youth at the end. You know how? The van wasn't big enough to ferry two groups of people to the MRT station. So we said, okay, who wants to be in the first trip? Everyone wanted to stay back. Because why? They just wanted to be with one another. You know, the oneness that God has created is something that is special. And if the youth can find a oneness in Christ, I can tell you they are a powerful force for the next generation. Okay? Teamwork in spiritual battle. I mentioned again, when you are sitting down with coffee with one another person, you can build friendship. But when you are fighting the war, your life depends on one another. Does that make sense? Your spiritual growth depends on one another. And you pray for God, I'll watch out for you, watch out for me. And that's where relationships really get strengthened. Because I see you for who you are, you see me for who I am, and I accept you because we are fighting a common enemy. And after that, of course, you can suss out your difficulties, but you know what? You begin to grow. You know that I can depend on this brother, I can depend on this sister in the time of spiritual conflict. And unfortunately, as ambassador, we need to get to the stage when the going gets tough spiritually, when there's going to be difficulties that will come as a church, when you find that things are dry, we need to come together to pray. You know, the more we pray together, the more we serve together, we actually bend together closer in the name of Christ. And Christ is the one who will bind us together. We know to artificially create situations for closeness will not help. Because our foundation is in Christ. The devil is not concerned that you come together for coffee. He's concerned when you come together and pray. Because then Christ binds your heart together as one. And not only do you win the battle, you become close friends in spiritual conflict. Alright, and that's something I want us to learn. Close friends will only happen in the spiritual battle. When we serve together, when we slot together, many of us slept what? Few hours, 2 hours, huh? They were playing blind mice in the middle of the night, and we couldn't sleep. Well, they had fun. If I tell you, to be honest, I was sleeping, I woke up at 4 plus, and I said, I'm going to tell them to go and sleep. But never mind, last night, never mind. And when I woke up, all the youth were at the hall. I thought they had a battle or something. They were just sleeping outside. Right. I think they had a good time. Did they fall asleep during devotions the last one? No. Okay. So maybe we allow it for next camp. But you know what? That's when we serve together in a spiritual friendship. Go soul winning together. Minister to someone together. Serve in the church camp. And the VBS is coming up, you know. Serve together, make effort to come. And when you come and say, Lord, I'm going to be part of a team that serves you. Not going to just do my thing. It's not going to happen that way in friendships. Okay, any questions? Alright, now we come to the next part. We'll try to do a lot more here. How do I restore a broken friendship? Oh, this is so important in the Christian church. Christian churches are broken up. People leave because they refuse to follow God's way of making right. And I believe this is a very important, timely lesson for all of us as we grow in Christ, okay? Let's turn to a few verses, okay? Mary, Timothy, Doriano, you can turn to Matthew 18, verse 7. Jacob, Luke 17, verse 1. Are the verses there? No. Mary, Brother Desmond, then. Okay, never mind, we just take those two verses first, okay? Matthew 18, verse 7. Loud and clear, so everyone can hear. You can turn to if you want, okay? Okay, come. Okay, Luke 17, verse 1.
Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but go unto him through whom they come.
Can I just, before even I start this, on how to restore a broken relationship, realize this, offenses will come. That's what Jesus said. There will be offense. In other words, you will get hurt. You will be offended. There will be things done to you, things said to you, that will offend you. Jesus already said it. Okay? So it is a fact of life. If it's a fact of life, the offenses will come. Then we need to learn, Lord, then how do we deal with it? Right? Okay? And I think the number one in these two verses is make sure the offense don't come through you. Okay? Because the Bible says, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs that be the offenses come. Let me ask you a question. Why must offenses come? Why is it a fact of life that offenses come? Can't we live in a world that is no offense? By the way, there will be 1,000 years where there will be no offense. Oh, there will be, but the offender will be chopped off straight away. But why does offense come? Because of our sinful nature. It's either what we do or how we respond. Does that make sense? Okay? How we do or how we respond. So offenses will come. And the Bible, Jesus warned us, make sure you're not the one through whom the offense will come. We need to be clear, alright? Now that we know offenses will come, the second thing we need to realize is, the offense to us is the action sin, or is it a personality, a word, or a way of doing things that we don't like? I say again. Is the offense or action against us a sin? Or is it something that I don't like personally? Because there is a difference in that. If it is not sin, and we get angry and offended, then we are angry without a cause. Does that make sense? That's why Matthew chapter 5 is very clear. So we need to be careful, okay? Now before we go down that road, let's take some general principles. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Alright, we're looking at how to restore broken friendships. Colossians chapter 3. Okay, Colossians in chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Okay, you've take note of this. I can tell you, you will go through a lot of friendship problems. You know, your friend don't like you lah. You cut your hair in a way that they say, why you spend so much money? You know, whatever. You know, now of course as adults, okay, we also have our pride, and therefore we need to deal with that too. But in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 15, Paul actually gives some principles in the Colossian church. I'll just read. You follow, right? Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. Okay? Some principles there. Number one, always prepare your heart. Always prepare your heart. How? In verse 12, number one, recognize that you are a Christian. If you have trusted Christ, your friendships must be different from the world. You must realize, the Bible says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, as the chosen of God, as the Christians that God has already saved. So you need to realize, recognize you're a Christian. Number two, you prepare the heart with kindness. The Bible says that very clearly. Kindness means always wanting to do good to someone else. Humility, always putting yourself below the other person. Meekness means, I can do it to you, but I choose not to. Okay? And of course, long-suffering, being patient with that person. Okay? You need to prepare your heart before to this fall. I can say this, many friendships are broken because Christians believe they are Christians, but they don't put on any of this when they deal with the problem. They don't put on kindness. I'm coming to this because I want to restore my friendship with this person. I want to be kind to this person. I'll be humble. Yeah, if you say I'm wrong, that's okay. I'm wrong. And I'm willing for the sake of Christ and for this brother in Christ that he will have no offense. I will say, maybe only the youth camp, well, I did something that offended someone in the camp. Huh? Pastor offended someone. Yes, I did. And although it's not a big thing, but I did when I apologized to that person and now we're friends again. Okay, and thank God for that. Although it was a small thing, but you know, offenses will come. And woe to him that offenses come. You know, and so I better get it right. But can I say this? If we just adopt this principle, all our friendship problems will be solved. Agree? If you just recognize that you're a Christian, you belong to God, not to ourselves. We put on kindness, humility, meekness and long-suffering. All our relationship problems in church will be solved. All our relationship problems in families will be solved. All our relationship problems outside will be solved. Can you see how God's word does work if we just follow them? Okay? But you know, God goes on further. Verse 13. Number one, always prepare the heart. Number two, always tolerate the wrong. Because the Bible says forbearing one another. The word forbearing means to tahan. Tolerate. But you know what? If you only tahan and tolerate the person, you will eventually blow up. And so God moves on to the next one. Forgive. That's what the next one says. And forgive one another. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Notice it's in the continuous tense. Forbearing and forgiving. In other words, keep having that heart. Don't say, this is the last time I'm going to forgive you. Finish. The next time is going to be World War III. Right? You know what God says? Keep on forbearing. Keep on forgiving. Okay? And then, the last one. Okay, then after verse 13, if any man have a quarrel against him, even as Christ forgave you, so Paul gives a pattern of how you forgive unconditionally. As Christ forgave us, we need to forgive unconditionally. Then in verse 14, above all these things, put on charity. Can I say this is not easy? Especially if you are in a friendship that... It's like, wow, it's so hard in families, perhaps, in different areas. But can I say this? If you don't remember anything, just remember three things in restoring friendships. Number one, tolerate the wrong. But don't just tolerate the wrong. Many Christians in churches, or you know, just in friendships, in families, we kind of, okay, Lord, I live and let live, you know what I mean? You just kind of, just No choice, no, he's like that one. What can I do? Okay, you do okay, like this. I just tahan, no. That's what many Christians do. You are at that toleration stage. But I can tell you, humanly speaking, you actually have a limit. Amen? We all have a limit. And that's why God says, go to the next step. Forgive the other person. The word forgive comes from the root word meaning grace. In other words, you are saying, I forgive you for what you've done to me, even though it was very painful. So you move from toleration to forgiveness. But can I say this? If the person keep on whacking you, at that, one day you will break. That's why you need to go to the third level. And that's where the Bible says, above all these things, put on charity. Put on God's love. Put on God's love that can never be overcome. Does it make sense? In other words, you need to pray, God help me to love this brother to the point I'm willing to die for that person. So that if you are willing to die for someone, whatever the person do to you, you just fuck, just his immaturity. You just keep on, it's okay. It's okay, I love the person, it's okay. You know, offenses, that's okay. You keep on moving forward because you're putting on charity. Does it make sense? Can I say, we all thank God all the time, but does God still love us? That's what he's talking about. We need to put on God's agape, unconditional. Unconditional love simply means, whatever you do to me, remember last week's message? Whatever you do to me, I'll still love you. And I said also last week, genuine friendship, the basis of genuine friendship is love. It's a kind of love that say, I will love you and I don't care what you do to me that is wrong. Of course, that doesn't mean that person that love me so much, let me test that love. Don't you dare do that. You're from the camp of the devil if you do that. Alright? You know what? If a person love you like that, you know what should be the natural response? We love God. Why? Because he first loved us that way. Can I say this? I thank God. Yeah, I've got to learn it the hard way. But you know what? It's worth it. Because at the end, you're able to influence more people for Christ if you just practice God's love. Christians, in your friendships, put on charity. Brother Johnny, it's so painful. I know. You think the nails in the cross of Christ wasn't painful? But still, he says, you know what he said? Be followers of me. Remember what Jesus says? Follow me. Be like me. Paul says in 1 Peter chapter 3, follow the footsteps of Christ. He has given us his example that we should follow his steps. Everything that Jesus, if you want to be like Christ, just do exactly what he does. If someone hurts you, just forgive. That's what Jesus did, and so you will grow. But you know what gets in the way? Our sinful conscience and sinful nature. And sometimes it's just, Lord, how in the world can I forgive that person? The person is such a pain in the neck for me for so many years. For such a person, I'll say, we have been a pain in God's neck for so many years. He still loves us. Because the Bible teaches us, as God for Christ's sake forgiven you, so forgive someone else. I know it's not easy. Because we're all humans and we do have that part. Lord, I just cannot do it. That's where you need Christ. If you really cannot do it, that's where you need revival. A revival in a heart that tells you, God, I cannot fulfill this unless you help me. You know what God says? If you're willing to do that, I will. I will. And I've seen God change lives because you're willing. You, as you grow up, you may grow up with pain in your hearts. Can I say this? Christ can heal that pain. But you've got to do it His way. And that's where surrender comes in. Surrender to God, okay? Okay, and then after that, the Bible says in verse 14, but above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Think about that. You know what it means? When you are able to get to the point where your friendship is based on God's love, it becomes the bond of, not peace, of maturity. In other words, I can go to anyone and say, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. Yeah, okay, Pastor, I know that's wrong. Or you can, hey, Pastor, you cook, you never put in this thing. Then, oh, sorry. And then it's okay, you know. And we're still friends at the end of the day. We still laugh. We're still serving the Lord, moving forward. Can I say this? If someone tells you what is wrong and you don't like it, that's not a true friend. Because faithful are the wounds of a friend. Okay? Okay, any questions? Okay, let me just go through one scenario, alright? When the offense is not sin, what do we do? Okay, now I'm going to the practical aspects. Practical aspects of how to deal with relationship problems, how to break. Okay, number one, a scenario is the offense is not a sin. Okay, it could be anything. Peter offends Paul. Okay, so the scenario is it's not a sin. Is that perhaps I did something that someone doesn't like. But when someone else comes and say, actually nothing, why, it's just color. I think you've heard rules could come from FBI, you know, some churches have split over color of toilet paper. Alright? Now, is that a good thing to split a church over? No. But some churches are just, some people are just saying, look, this is how I want it to be done. And so maybe Peter offends Paul by his choice of color paper, toilet paper. Okay? So the offense is not sin, right? We all know that. Can I say this? When you are offended, the other person actually generally don't know. Agree? And so here you are at home. How dare the person choose the color of toilet paper? I like navy blue, but he chose pink. How dare he choose pink? I like blue. And so you're fuming and you're losing sleep. The guy is just drinking coffee, enjoying himself with the friends. Okay? Because to him it's not an offense. And the Holy Spirit won't convict him because it's not sin. Alright? And by the way, that person who is drinking coffee and enjoying himself, and then when you see him enjoying himself, how dare he enjoy himself? Don't he know I'm offended by that? No, he doesn't know. And by the way, if I don't know anything about it, I cannot do anything about it. Does it make sense? Well, let's have some logical thinking here in offenses, okay? Alright? If you're angry and you do not tell the other person, then you are bearing your own offense, not Peter. But let's say Peter knows about it because Paul comes and tell Peter, then what should Peter do? Let's say I'm offended. I decide to come and tell the other person that I'm offended by what his choice of color toilet paper. What should this person do? Anyone? Come on, I'm sure you guys have been through that before. What should this person do? Okay, an offense is not sin. I decided I'm going to come and tell you that I'm offended by your choice of toilet paper. You can laugh, okay? Alright? But what should the offender do? No right and wrong. Well, there is a right and wrong, but just try. It's part of our learning. I think as adults, we can actually go through that. So what should the offender do? Although it wasn't in his intention, right? He doesn't know about it. So this person is very come and tell. So what does this person do? What should he do? Huh? What? Reciprocate what? Don't use pink. Okay. But it's already been done. He's already offended already. Okay. It's interesting, no? Even though it's interesting. After, when an offense happens, even though it's not sin, and the other, it's always the case. If you change, then don't use pink. See? You're just trying to please me, right? Right? Because you're already angry. Can you see? It's illogical, that's what the devil likes. Okay? Okay. Alright, let me give you some so you can actually challenge me on this, but I'll just put out some things. Number one, realize it's not easy for this person to come and tell you that he's offended. It could be that someone say, I think you should go and tell. I say, okay, I'll do it. It could be hard, it's very hard for an offended person to go and tell other person. Okay? So that's one thing. Alright? So therefore, if you know it's difficult, what should you do? Having this realization that someone finds it hard to come and tell you, but he actually does it, what should you do? Sorry? Okay? Go. Huh? Go? Okay, so yeah, if a person tells you, then you should actually reciprocate, alright? Okay? Realize, okay, then on this part, realize there is an offense. Whether you believe it's an offense or not, come on, let's put it this way. Pink or blue toilet paper, it still goes down the toilet bowl at the end of the day. So what's the big... But for that person, it's an offense. Okay? And so realize that it is an offense whether we are right or not. You know, many times we offend people by what we say, what we do. Although sometimes we think it's not a problem, but other people think it is. In the way you cut certain things or so. Huh? All right? Or we have spiritual lessons in the kitchen itself. Okay? How to work with... I tell you, it is classic. Okay? It's classic spiritual lesson, how to get along with one another. A person want to cut this thing this way, another person want to cut the other way, want to cook it this way. Alright, we had adults camp in the kitchen. We were learning spiritual lessons. And thank God at the end of the day, we're still friends, and we learn to grow, and we learn to accept one another, because okay, so this person, therefore, will apologize immediately. I can tell you, the Bible tells us, if we confess our sin, the word confess means to verbally agree with the other person that I'm wrong. Many people, when they do wrong, they don't actually say that they are wrong, and I am sorry. I've learned a long time ago, saying sorry is a starting point. When we don't say sorry, the offense always hangs. Do you know why we don't say sorry? There's only one word. Pride. Pride will never say, I'm wrong. And therefore, I will not say, I will talk around it. I will talk why the fence must should have been like that. But you know what? Actually, in relationship problems, I'm sorry for what I've done. The moment you say that, it's like the big balloon. That's why God says, confess. What did the prodigal son do to come back to the father? I will say to God and to the father, Father, he actually rehearsed what he's going to say, right? I will say to my father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy. Notice how he took the blame all on himself. Okay? Confession is right. Apologize immediately. Don't try to justify yourself. You know what people will say? I'm sorry, but you also, you should have consulted me first. You know? That's it, finish. World War IV, yeah, man. Right? You know what? Realize an offense, apologize immediately, confess that sin, and say, don't try to justify it. Realize that it's probably a misunderstanding. An apology often sets the record straight and restores the friendship. Agree? It's just an offense. I'm sorry. I should have consulted you. Tell you what. What do you think we should... Maybe just give the person the opportunity to just make himself known, you know? And by this time, Peter is like, oh, you're so paiseh, you know? I'm sorry, actually, I shouldn't have brought it out. I'm sorry, I can't bring coffee. You know, after that, everything is fine, you know? Okay? Does that make sense? I know I talk very fast in that situation, but you know? This is a job of the offender. Realize the misunderstanding. Ask God to help you to be more sensitive the next time. Alright? But what about the offender? What were they offended? We need to ask ourselves, number one, is it a sin that I must deal with? Or is it a misunderstanding on offense because I've been offended? Like have you stepped on people's toes in the train before? And they give you that dirty look? I don't want to blame the driver. He jam brake, then I accidentally fall back, step your toe, I say sorry to you. No. Of course, if you're a lady wearing high heels, you better apologize more. Because it's more painful. Okay, I've said it before. You know, just not in the MRT train. Just say sorry. It's probably over because you never see each other again. Okay, that's. But you know what? When you're friends, you know you really need to really apologize. All right. Is it a sin? Or if it's not a sin, it's probably just a misunderstanding. You just need to communicate and talk about it. Okay, and ask yourself: can I overlook it and treat it as if it never happened? Can I say this? Many times it can. I've done it before. And after that, life as usual. We enjoy ourselves and we just choose not to bring up again, okay? The Bible says, Proverbs 17 verse 9. Let's turn there, okay? I want everyone, if you can, memorize this. Memorize this. May Ambassador Baptist Church hold to God's word in this matter. When it's not a sin, when it's not offense, it's just a hold to this. Proverbs 17 verse 9. Okay, let's read together, alright? Memorize it in your free time, okay? Ready? Proverbs 17 verse 9, ready? 1, 2, begin. He that covereth a transgressor seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. What? God has a final word, amen? Just do what He says, okay? Our friendship in Ambassador will be strong, okay? And then another question you need to ask yourself, can I actually forgive this person? I always tell Esther Joy, you know, Esther Joy always gets bullied in the playground. She always wants to be friends with other people, and people kind of look at her with a dirty look. She actually cried. It was two times, I think. I was trying to be friends. You don't want to be my friend. You know? Now I always ask her, do you think you can forgive her? The next thing you know, you go, you want to come for VBS? You know? Children are there. But you know what? Parents, don't tell them. You know he's going to look at it. Then don't go to him lah. Don't you ever teach them to do that. You know what? You're teaching them tit for tat. I've heard Christian parents, that is sin against a little child, teaching them to do wrong. You know what you need to do? Teach them the grace of God. Of course, you need to assess whether the child is ready. Sometimes children, do you think, I always ask this, are you able to forgive the person? Then after I ask the child, would you like to try again? Or maybe you wait. So I'm not closing the door, but you know, she will automatically go back again because she wants to invite them. So she, even in Friday night, she said, can you play for my friend to come to church? Marling. I say again, Marling is not your luncheon meat. Marling is actually the friend in the background. Okay? To actually tell the child, you know what? From beginning, to practice God's grace with the child. I tell you what, the most powerful, can I say, parents, you are the most powerful teachers to impress your child. If your child see you doing that, he will do it. Why? Because my mommy and daddy does it. Alright? Okay? So, can I forgive that person? Can I say this? If you're offended in things that do not matter, such as the way we should do things, we will need to grow up in that. We need to grow. We need to grow. We need to be more mature. But you know why? Because the devil is going to capitalize on that to break your friendships every single time. And I've seen that again and again. That's why even in our family, sometimes it's hard. But you know, I've learned this. You know, use me as a punching bag, that's fine. I will always get my top up. You know why? My supply is Christ. Be the punching bag. Absorb the pain. Absorb whatever people give to you. Brother Johnny, is very painful. Yes, you know why? We need to learn to surrender completely to Christ. Just let Him take control. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying it's the best thing to do. If you really want a friendship that will last, and let's put it this way, as much as you may love the person, you know what Paul says, 2 Corinthians 13, though the more I love you, the less I be loved. You know what, that's God's love in a friendship, okay? So, can you forgive that person? Ask ourselves. And also one more question, what if the offender is so thick-skinned, who just do not learn that it's an offense, and every time, you know, the next time we buy toilet paper, he still buy the pink one. And the pink one. And the pink one. 70 times 7 some more. Huh? What should you do? I'll give you a clue already. The Bible actually says too, Luke chapter 17. I'll just read, alright? Luke 17 verse 3, take heed to yourself, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. Say, you already know what? If he repents and forgive him, if he messes up, that messes up is Johnny's translation. If he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, 7 times in a day, turn again to thee saying, I repent, you will forgive him. Jesus says, if he offend you 7 times a day on the same thing, and he says, sorry, sorry, paise, sorry. You know what Jesus tells you to do? Forgive him. You know what? By the number 2, we all say, no way. Okay, I'm not going to forgive you until you change. That is not what Jesus taught. Jesus says, even if he does it 490 times to you, you still forgive him. How many of you say, Brother Johnny, I cannot do that? Put out your hand. What, it means everyone can do, huh? Honestly, how many feel that it's hard? Okay, it's hard. Can I say this? The disciples also thought it was hard. Did you realize that? You look at Luke chapter 17, the next verse. After Jesus told them that this is what you need to do, in verse 4, thou shalt forgive them. Look, this is what the apostles said in verse 5. Oh Lord, increase our faith. God, there's no way we can do that. Can I say this? The disciples were just like us. But you know what? The disciples had to grow too, remember? What did Stephen do when he was stoned to death? Lord, he prayed, right? Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Two things happened. Number one, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He saw the resurrection. And he knew that person who was stoning him didn't know better. And so he knew the only person he can go to is Christ. Okay? The apostle said, forgive. No, sorry, the apostle said, increase our faith. Can I say it's hard? But not impossible. For with men, it's impossible. I'm just applying this verse, but with God, nothing shall be impossible. You can forgive the person. Yeah, I share this. I think FBI students have heard this, but I'll share this again. There was this, I can't remember the context, but there was someone who killed someone. This man killed parents, and there were, and then he was put in jail and he was ready for death row, I believe. And then there was one particular girl who kept coming to witness to this man, and then for many, I think for a period of time, but he just gave her first name, but didn't give her surname. At the end of the time, this man was wondering how come this girl kept coming to share the gospel with this man who killed his parents. Until the end, the man realized the girl that came to share the gospel with this murderer was the daughter of the parents who were murdered. Think about that. Oh man, I tell you, that's love in action. That's not human love. Human love will say, I give it to you, right? You see, often, sir, you see at a court case, right? How dare you kill my daughter and try to throw things. But you know what? This person shared the gospel. That is Christ's love in action. Christ's love in action. Okay? So, any questions? I think I better stop. Next week, we'll just wrap up. The scenario B. What if it is a sin? What if it is a sin? Okay? So, but any questions on friendships and relationships? What? Okay, so that means from now on, Ambassador will be better at friendships, right? I'm going to expect that. I need us to pray. Say, God, increase my faith to be the type of friend that you want me to be, okay? And may God make Ambassador the best place for friendships, amen? Only one, a few people. Come on, amen. Amen. Okay, may God, let's be filled with Christ's Spirit, all right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the spirit of Christ and love. Thank you for the youth camp this past. We see many friendships built. But God, I pray that the friendships will not be based on just common interests, but be based on Christ. That whatever difficulties they have in life, they can come to their youth workers or each other and they will pray for one another. Lord, I pray for the rest of us. May we grow in Christ-likeness and friendships that will honor you. God, there may be many things that are painful, things that have happened. But God, help us to just let it go. Lord, let it be under the blood of Christ. And may our lives change because of what you are doing in our life. May it make Ambassador the best place for friendships. And not because we just want to be proud, but we just want to be like you. Because you are a friend that sticks us closer than a brother. And we want just to be like you. Thank you for what you're going to do. Bless us in the service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have about 10 minutes, all right, before the service. Okay.